Welcome to All Well Stands Radio Show. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. This is the Back to the Basics radio program. You can listen to podcasts at allwellstand.org. Just click on podcast, or perhaps you're listening as it's aired in Africa. So today I'm going to be going over, got to move kind of quickly as I know my limitations in a half an hour. And I have an article that was posted up on the website on June 16th, 2024. And you'll probably be hearing this about a month later or so. It's entitled, Not the Pit. So let me begin by starting opening with Luke chapter 8, verse 30 through 31. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Let's turn our attention to realities. Realities that are amongst us. The fullness of which is not known, but where the Bible has shed enough light to give us understanding and knowledge that we might turn our ways unto God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Just what word to use here? I had thought to use pit, and when I went to look up the verse that was on my mind, I see that in the VW edition it is abyss, and in the King James Version it is deep. So I got out my old Webster's University Dictionary, looked it up, finally determined that I would just leave the word pit in the title of the article as it seems appropriate enough. But for the purpose of looking up that word, I looked up abyss in the noun version. And it's number one, it's either a bottomless gulf, also a deep mass of waters, once supposed to have encompassed the earth in the beginning as the face of the abyss in the sepulchre. Number two, that which is immeasurable, that in which anything is lost. Number three, the bottomless pit, hell. Number four, an immensity of time, space, depth, or scope, usually with the idea of intellectual or moral depravity, as an abyss of ignorance, an abyss as abyss of crime. And number five, inherently the center of Escutachon, as he bears azure, a fleur-de-lis in abyss. So I really don't even understand what I just said there, so I'm not sure what that last one is, but definitely not going to match what I'm going for. And that's from the Webster's University Dictionary, unabridged version, 1942. Now let's take this pit or abyss, the opening verse, and go one step further in understanding in order to set the stage for the purpose of his writing. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 through 29. And when he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergeses, there met him two demon-possessed men, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Last weekend, we went camping for one night on the Belfouche Reservoir in far western South Dakota. As always, we got out the fishing poles and cast in, looking at the fairly immense body of water for the area, with the high plains and a few buttes in the background as far as someone can see. This place is rural, not much population of any size beyond the nearby city of Belfouche, simply ranches in the great western lands. We have never caught a fish from these shores, though this was our third year trying, occasionally seeing the big one jump. What we do catch is some peace and quiet. A beautiful night sky on a clear night, showing the handiwork of our Creator, something that is not seen with the light pollution found in Rapid City. That evening we could see the stormy skies around us, but it never came our way. Dissipating and promised to return the next day, which it did. But we had already returned home, seeing the towering cumulus in the rearview mirror. I will just simply add that. So, yeah, those storms became pretty severe, and they took and they went all up at, like, kind of like towards North Dakota, and just really a bunch of wind gusts and a little bit of hail. But, as I said out there with the pole in the water, hoping that this was the year that I would at least pull something small out from the reservoir, I looked out the horizon, pondering the things of God, how man responds, what the truth of the world is. Recently, I considered man's time under the sun. Now I was considering what was under this very ground, somewhere where my feet were planted, viewing this post-flood landscape that my eyes were beholding. I began to think of the fallen angels, the demons who begged Jesus not to go to the abyss, those who pleaded with the Messiah not to be placed there before the time. Oh, imagine life without Jesus Christ paying the penalty for our sins. Would we be any better off? Would we recognize the reality of the world, God's creation, the consequences for our fallen nature? All we would have to look forward to would be the same thing as demons, who do not inherit salvation. We, God's creation, mankind, would have sinned, and there would be nothing that we could do to pay the penalty for that which we had done against the holy and mighty God, the one and only God. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 13 says, I am Jehovah, and there is none other. No God besides me. I embrace you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am Jehovah, and there is none, no other, forming the light and creating darkness, making peace and creating evil. I, Jehovah, do all these things. Rain down from above, O heavens, and let the clouds pour down righteousness. Let the earth open and let salvation bear fruit, and let righteousness spring up together. I, Jehovah, have created it. Woe to him who strives with the one who formed him, a potsherd among the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to the one who forms it, what are you making? Or your work, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you beginning? Or to the woman, what are you riffing over? Thus says Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, and the one who formed him. Do you ask me of things to come? Do you command to me about my sons and about the work of my hands? I have made the earth and created man on it. I, with my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I ordained. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall set free my captives. Not for price, nor reward, says Jehovah of hosts. As well as Isaiah chapter 44, 6 through 8. Thus says Jehovah the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Jehovah of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. And who shall proclaim as I do, and shall declare it, and set in order for me, since I founded the ancient people? And the things that are coming and shall come, let them declare it to them. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you and declared it? Since then, thus you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no other rock. I have not known any. I find that little bit quite interesting at the very end. I have not known any. I mean, to me, that's really, it says something. You know, you're talking about God, the Creator, God Almighty. And he will tell you himself that he has not known any other gods. I mean, that's to me, that's quite interesting. When he says he's the only one, I mean, obviously, that I find that, I don't know why, it intrigues me. I actually had a hard time finding that little, I knew I wanted that verse in this article, and it took me a couple minutes to find it. Salvation is something that the angels even desire to look into. But it is for mankind and only through Jesus Christ. You see, true believers will actually judge the angels. Underneath us, the ground that we all walk on is the truth, the destination of all mankind whose names are not written in the book of life. So the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 through 15, And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And our book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, out of the things which are written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone now found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Looking out at that great expanse of open prairie, I know that somewhere underneath the ground there is a little place called hell, a place where those who did not repent towards God and by faith believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, accepting the free gift of salvation. There, those people, unfortunately, the majority of mankind who refuse to slow down, listen, to seek God, to cry out to the Creator, to be saved through His Son Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, who now sits at the right hand of God Almighty. there is a literal place called hell. One which has a door, for even Jesus made mention of the keys of Hades. And by the way, if you go to allwillstand.org and in the search, just type in Bible study hell, and you can pull up, I have it linked to an article, and there's a bunch of verses I have in there. So if you pull up the article, you want more information, not the pit, there's a link in there, and there's a bunch of verses you can look up. But some may scoff about there being a literal hell. In fact, perhaps most. For even many who call themselves Christians do not believe what the Bible says, to their own demise. For I tell you, and I preach to you the truth, that which is found in God's word. Somewhere in the earth, there is a literal place called hell, one that will be cast into a lake of fire when this earth, this ground, is destroyed after the millennial reign of Christ. And we, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, find ourselves in a new earth with new heavens, living in New Jerusalem, with God being the light of the world, as he always was, for all eternity. Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, "And at that time Michael shall stand up, the great ruler who stands for the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of distress, such as not been since there was a nation until that time. And that time your people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of those sleeping in the earth thou shalt awake, some to everlasting life, and some to reproach and everlasting abhorrence." Also, Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives him light, and it shall reign forever and ever." You only get one chance. There are no second ones once we die and no longer under the sun. Consider your choice to serve God, to accept his free gift of salvation through his son Jesus Christ or not. So, you know, it's funny. Today I went, here it is, a week away from going camping. I had this article done, posted on the website, knowing I had to do a radio show. And I went to this festival that they had in a park. I saw this neighborhood, said, oh, festival. Well, it turned out to really be more, it's like more of an art thing. And I'm not too artsy of a person myself. Anyway, we went there, walked around, just to see what they had going on there, and probably something I wouldn't do the next year, but you know, some people like that sort of thing. A lot of it was bad, I will tell you. There was one lady, and we're looking at stuff. I have a 5-year-old girl, so they have like little rings and stuff, but on the table they had, you know, like jewelry section, like some marijuana leaves and satanic stars, and I looked right at the lady and I said, you know, not going to support you, you're selling bad stuff here. She didn't say nothing. She didn't cuss me out or nothing. I just walked away. But, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about that. And I'm thinking about these radio shows. And I'm thinking about where All Will Stand's radio show was broadcast throughout, you know, portions of the United States. And, you know, now, I mean, Africa as well. It was Africa back then. And there's all these people at this park. And I guess if you kind of wonder where... apparently art festivals has a lot of the darker culture there. I know. So a lot of people like that. You get to see so many at once instead of just kind of like mixed in. And anyway, over on the side, there's three gentlemen. And sadly, one is passed out at the table. This is, you know, like a park bench. It's in a park, this thing. And then a couple other guys are talking. And these are, you know, these are real, real bad guys. You know, I mean, They're bad people. They look bad. You know, they're street people. And they're just minding their own business outside. I go and sit at a bench near them. There's one there. I'm not concerned about myself. And anyway, you know, and I look around and honestly, so many people nowadays, in fact, I hope it's not you listening to this radio show, either online or in Africa. You know, don't be too smart for your own good. We have tons of Americans all over, and they proclaim Christianity, and probably some of these people that even sell stuff, like, you know, these, like, stars. I mean, it wasn't like everything this lady had was bad. I mean, she had her bad stuff, and of course, you know, you get into jewelry and stuff like that, and it, I mean, its origins are bad. And I'm not saying you can't have any, because I certainly don't believe that, but you have to be careful. I mean, a lot of it, you know, like the shapes of, like, the charms that might come. A charm sounds bad right there. It is bad, right? But I know a lot of people have earrings or something on a necklace, and it looks like a teardrop if you actually pay attention. It's actually a common shape. And, you know, you can, women weeping for Tammuz, you can look it up in the Bible. So I don't want to get off track here. But the point is, I'm sitting down there briefly, and there wasn't, you know, I didn't feel a necessity. There was no opportunity to open up to speak to these gentlemen today. But it just, there's the people, you know, everyone else, I mean, they're on their phones constantly, some of them, and other people, I mean, not saying I didn't talk to the people there, except for this one woman who ran a booth, briefly. It just kind of comes down to, I mean, whoever will listen to God's word and listen to shows like this and take this seriously. This is not a joke. So let us ponder for a moment, if you will. I'm going to go back to when I went camping just a week ago. As I looked over that expanse of the prairie in the background of the Balfouche Reservoir, I thought about the forgotten people. Think about it. These aren't going to be the people who were on the bench. They're nobodies to society. You know, in fact, I'm a nobody. Okay. But those whose graves, marked or not marked, even on the prairie, from the settlers coming across, the Indians who died, even long before the white man had seen the land, others who fell in battles, or those who simply have resided in a city scattered here and there, not the names of the famous ones found in the area, Billy the Kid, Calamity Jane, and others, but the average person, the native, who might have been named Killdeer, and a farmer who might have simply been Frank Smith. Both walked this earth. Both were created by God Almighty. Both had a responsibility, irregardless of their culture, their societal beliefs. Consider that the far vast majority of churches are now fully apostate. They had that responsibility to seek their Creator, to sit in such a place as this. One even prior, when there was no reservoir, but that very land was simply the post-flood landscape of open prairie. Prior to being the biggest earthen dam on the face of the earth at the time, I think 1914, where these people who were created in the image of God could have stopped and pondered things. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 21 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is clearly recognized by them, for God has revealed it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, the unseen things of him are clearly perceived, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they know God, they do not glorify him as God, nor are thankful, but become vain in their reasonings, and their stupid hearts are darkened." Also, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 7. "Seek Jehovah while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to Jehovah, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Finally, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So both the famous, the wealthy, the banker, the good-looking woman, the handsome man, the political leader, governors, mayors, Crazy Horse, Custer, all who have been before us, walked under the sun on this very open prairie, even the janitor, all had the same one chance. Gotta remember, I am the janitor. Let us contemplate this ordeal to perhaps fully gather a bit more understanding at how great of a gift that God provided through his son Jesus, and how thankful that we should be, and how all mankind should greatly prize this gift, accepting it with incredible joy. Adam and Eve sinned. They were the first people that God created. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 3. And sin entered the realm. So Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the realm, in death through sin, and thus death spread to every person because everyone sinned. In fact, I was thinking earlier as I was doing this, so talk about the books being open. Well, that's God recording what you're doing. So I speak now to, you know, I speak directly to Africa, where this show is really, it's meant to go. I mean, yes, I keep the podcast up in there. You miss a week if somebody comes by the website, but I'm shooting for Africa here. And, I mean, honestly, so many people say, oh, you know, I don't really have a problem. Really. By yourself. Go somewhere and sit down. Consider what might. And I will tell you it is. You can say, I don't know if it is. Consider what is underneath the ground. You can say might. It is. Somewhere hell's underneath the ground. Now, you tell me the average person is going to be able to think of things that are not good that they did. How are you going to, what are you going to do about that? Well, Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that's everyone. Not just you, not just me, everyone. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's get a better understanding of what Christ did on the cross. Now, we began with how the demons fear the abyss and do not want to go down to the abyss before the time. How they begged Jesus. They do not inherit salvation. For them, they know their future. And Matthew 25:41 tells us, then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, having been prepared for the devil and his angels. What if the same had been true with us, God's creation? Are not the angels another type of his creation? Yes, they are. Take a look at Ezekiel 28:13 if you don't believe me. Our original parents, Adam and Eve, sinned. There was absolutely nothing that they could do to pay the penalty for that sin, and the wages of sin is death. What type of life would we have? Would we be better off than the demons? I would imagine ours would be this vain pursuit of trying to eat as healthy as possible, work out, etc., so that we might walk under the sun as long as we could. In a world like that, I could see fruit and vegetable stands in every neighborhood, gyms in every block, people running in the parking crowds, biking up large hills, etc. For each person would know that these were their lives, lives to be enjoyed, but then afterwards they would go to the pit. There would be no hope for them. There would be no way to pay the penalty for their sins that were committed, not only for their inherited sin nature, but their own sin as well. And please, go ahead and take a look at Psalms 51, verse 5, and 1 John 1:8, just to kind of verify those last two statements. But I will go over Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and our righteousness are like a menstruation cloth. And we all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You know, I will tell you, even for me, it's so easy, if you don't keep your eyes on Jesus, to just get caught up in the real, in whatever it may be. You know, I mean, it's very easy to get, if we don't keep our eyes focused on him, we're going to find ourselves in some seriously, a mindset that's not very honoring to God, not very, you know, not focused on him, with where Christ isn't the center, quite quickly. But we take a look at that. Let's take a look at that. Let's think about this. Families could look at their children and know that they had no real future. They too were destined to the pit. Grandfathers and grandmothers could put their grandchildren on their knee, knowing too that they had no real future, that they also were destined to the pit. What hope would there be? Would the real world really have a health nut kick, or would it be full of psychiatrists handing out antidepressants? Well, Jesus overcame death for us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but partake in the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has deprived death of its power and brought life and incorruptibility to light through the gospel. What a shame it would be to end up in hell for all eternity, when we, mankind, created in the image of God, have been given through Christ a free gift that is readily available so that we do not have to live in fear, but we can be set free. This is your one chance. Let me go over, closing out this article, Romans chapter 5, verse 13 through 21. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not accounted for, counted when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like it was through the one who sinned. For the judgment from one offense was unto condemnation, but the free gift from many offenses is unto justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who are receiving abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment was to every person unto condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift is to every person unto justification of life. For as through one man's disobedience many were declared sinners, so also through one man's obedience many will be declared righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So yes, I mean, do consider that. You know, do consider this is your one chance. Right now, it's your one chance. You're not going to get a second chance. There is no such thing as, the Bible doesn't teach reincarnation. And I know there are many cultures who do accept certain forms of that. Some, it's a kind that Americans would instantly think of, and other ones, different forms. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Now, you could say, well, I believe that. Okay. Well, all I can say is the Bible, which is God's word to humanity, doesn't teach that. And I know for a fact that God's word will stand, not religious beliefs that are contrary to that, not teachers who teach contrary to that, not your thoughts, if they're contrary to God's word. It doesn't matter. The reality is you get one chance. So your one chance could be to believe that. Your one chance could be to simply take in and ignore such radio shows as this, to not even seek God, to never look into these things. That could be your choice, and you have that choice. And to a certain extent, I'll respect it. My job as a believer, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to warn you. That is the task that God has given me. This particular article was laid on my heart. I remember I went up from fishing, went to my truck, I grabbed my notepad, I grabbed a pencil, went and sat down, I wrote down some notes. I told my wife, this is what I wrote down, I'm going to have to write it. And she's like, well, most people would think about, you know, heaven, you know, not yeah, here I am, I'm sitting on the shore, and I'm thinking, what's underneath me? I'm not thinking about the pearly gates and the gold streets. Yeah, no, I'm thinking about, this is serious. You know, we don't have to talk about those things. I mean, if you're a believer, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know, great. You'll experience them there. We don't know the fullness of that. But anyway, there's lots of information about salvation at allwillstand.org. Until next week, have a great week.